1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 8. We're taking a 1 week break from our March series as we think about mothers and as we think about their role in our families, our church, and our society. Mothers who truly love. Let me read this passage together. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we're ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. Today, I want us to build upon this image that Paul used of a mother taking care of her own children. On this day, we honor mothers, and it's good for us to think about what all they really do. Being a mother is certainly not a walk in the park, except right now you can't go walking in some parks, but that's beside the point. By the time a child reaches the age of 18, a mother has had to handle some 18,000 hours of child-generated work. I've used this before, but a middle school science teacher lectured on the properties of magnets for an entire class one day. The next day, he gave his students a quiz. The first question was, "My name begins with an M, has six letters, and I pick things up. What am I?" And half of the kids in the class wrote, "Mother." And that reminds me of the father who was trying to explain the concept of marriage to his four-year-old daughter. He got out their wedding album, thinking some visual images would help, and explained the entire wedding ceremony to her. When he was finished, he asked if she had any questions. And she pointed to a picture of the wedding party, and she asked very sincerely, "Daddy, is that when Mama came to work for us?" I imagine there's a plenty of a mother that feels that same kind of question. We've all heard part of this quote, but I wonder if we've heard all of it. If daddy ain't happy, who cares? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. We all understand that second part especially. Ralph Waldo Emerson made the statement, men are what their mothers made them. And an old Spanish proverb says, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. There are some great portraits of motherhood in Scripture. I love the picture of the mother of Moses who cares so much for her son that she broke the law in order to teach him the faith of his people. We see the sacrificial love of the mother who appeared before King Solomon and told him that she was willing to have her son taken away by another woman rather than to see her son harmed. Or the mother of James and John, who loved her boy so much that she wanted them to sit at the Lord's side in the heavenly kingdom. Or the mother of King Lemuel, who gave some advice to her son about godly living and how to pick a good wife in Proverbs 31. I'm also aware that Mother's Day is a difficult day for some of you. Maybe you wanted to be a mother, but you couldn't for some reason. Perhaps some of you did not have the best mother in the world. Some of you have had a mother that's already passed away, and so there's a day of sadness. Some of you had, as mothers, have lost a child to death, and that makes this day sad. Some of you mothers feel the pain of having a rebellious child that maybe you even have a broken relationship with at this time. Perhaps some of you even aborted a child. And some of you are flying solo without the help of a father. So I recognize that it's a hard day for some, but I also think it's a day that we can make some very important spiritual and practical applications for all of our mothers, for all the women of our church. Let's begin by looking at it as an overview. A grandmother, a mother, and a boy. It sounds like a lead-in to a joke or something, but it's not. I want to introduce you to a young woman named Eunice. Most of this is based upon the Scripture, but I also use some, I would want to call, holy imagination to fill in some gaps. Eunice was raised in a religious home and was greatly impacted by her mother, Lois. She loved to learn the stories from the Bible when she was young and enjoyed going to services where she could learn about God. As she approached her teenage years, she was still focused on spiritual matters, but she became attracted to a young man who was not into religion at all. Against the best wishes of her godly mother, the teachings of her faith, and the tug of her conscience, she married the man, and don't get me wrong, he was a nice guy, but thought the spiritual matters were for weak people. After a couple years of marriage, Eunice and her husband had a baby boy who they named Timothy. In the meantime, Eunice's dad had died, so she asked her mother Lois to come and live with them. Little Timmy was the delight to everyone. Both his mother and grandmother spent hours with him, teaching him the stories of the Old Testament, praying with him and for him, and training him in the things of God. And while they didn't have any of the VeggieTale videos or any of the Lifeway resources that we have available, they created a spiritual environment where Tiny Tim could flourish. Then one day, a preacher named Paul came to their town of Lystra and spoke about a man named Jesus. Both Lois and Eunice listened intently. They saw in Jesus the fulfillment of all the promises in the Old Testament, and they placed their trust in Him and were converted to Christ. These new believers, in turn, focused on their teachings to Timothy all about who Jesus was. We know from reading the book of Acts that Paul himself took a personal interest in Tim, the teenager, and partnering with his mother and grandmother led him to a saving faith. Later, Paul and Timothy would partner together in ministry as the gospel continues to spread throughout the world. Many years later, while Paul was in prison awaiting for his execution, he writes two letters to young Timothy. These letters contain some teaching about how Timothy should behave as a church leader and are also filled with some reminiscing and nostalgic look backs on Paul's part. As Paul writes these letters, as we know from 1 and 2 Timothy, he reflects on the mothers who made an impact on Tim's life. With that as a background, I'm going to draw from three different passages of Scripture, two of which are found in Paul's second letter to Timothy, to show how a mother and a grandmother can make a significant spiritual impact on her children with or without the help of a father. First of all, instill a respect for Scripture. The first thing a mother can do to help their children is by instilling within her children a respect for Scripture. In 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul reminds Timothy that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But then he gets on in verses 14 and 15, he says this, "But as for you, continue what you learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred Scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." In verse 14, Paul urges Timothy to hang tough when the tough times comes. Timothy not only learned things mentally, cognitively, he made a practice of owning what he studied by becoming convinced of its truthfulness and living it out. He didn't just fill his head with truth, but he internalized it and he lived it out each and every day. I think Timothy did this because he was modeled by his mother and his grandmother and in Paul himself. 2 Timothy 3:15 shows us what this truth was. In the manner of the devout Israelites, his mother and his grandmother taught the Holy Scriptures to Timothy from the very beginning of his life. The word infancy in some passages referred to a newborn baby or to a toddler. They read to him. They talked about Samson and Samuel. They talked about David and they talked about Ruth. They talked about Abraham. They talked about Noah. They did everything they could to provide Timothy with an opportunity to learn all that he could about the Bible. These two mothers had God's Word in their hearts because they had internalized the truth into their own lives. They could impress it upon young Timothy by talking about it throughout the day and showing Timothy how the Scripture should impact every aspect of his life. Mothers, it is never too early to start teaching the Bible to your children. And let me also add that it's never too late to start if you hadn't already started. There is nothing that can replace that role in your child's life. God wants you to instill within your children a respect for the Bible. One day there were four scholars that were arguing about Bible translations. One scholar said he preferred the King James Version because of its beauty and its eloquent Old English. Another scholar said he liked the New American Standard Version because it was so literal and how it moves the reader from passage to passage with confident feelings of accuracy about the original text. The third scholar said he liked the New Living Translation because it used contemporary phrases and idioms that captured the meaning of very difficult ideas. After being quiet for just a moment, the fourth scholar admitted, "I actually personally preferred my mother's translation." And the other scholars just kind of laughed. And the fourth scholar responded, "Yes, she translated the Scriptures. My mom translated each page of the Bible into life. It was the most convincing translation I've ever read." Let's translate the Scriptures into life before our children. Mothers, what kind of Bible is your child reading when that child observes your life? Are you looking for ways to instill a respect for the Word of God into the lives of your children? Second of all, I think we need to instill a sincere faith. We see in 2 Timothy 1:5, "I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am convinced is in you also." Even though Lois and Eunice were believers, Timothy needed to come to a point in which he put his faith in Christ. Faith is not hereditary. It is learned. At the same time, when mothers model genuine faith, an environment is set up whereby children will be motivated to want that same kind of faith. The word sincere related to faith means that it was unhypocritical. It was real. It was without pretense. It was not a facade. Faith had come in and taken up residency in the mother's heart and the grandmother's heart and was now alive in Timothy's own heart. These two mothers were completely sold out to Christ. They were serious about their faith. They were fully devoted and completely committed. And Timothy knew it. No one knows better than a child whether a parent's faith is genuine. Notice the chain here. Lois to Eunice to Timothy. Again, we don't read about a grandfather or father anywhere in this equation. That's not saying that a father's not important. He is. What I am saying is this. A mother can make a significant spiritual impact on her children with or without the help of a father. Don't worry, on Father's Day, I'll put an emphasis on the role of the father as well. Mothers, if you want to instill an authentic faith in your children, then you better take your own faith seriously. If you're just going through the motions spiritually, your children will see it and tragically may do the same thing when they get older. And as you demonstrate your faith, you ought to do this by reading the Bible, praying, attending worship, bringing your kids to activities at a church, when we can have activities once again, and helping them grow spiritually. By participating in the life and the mission of the church, you will send a strong message to your children. This is important. As I think about the kind of faith that was passed from a mother to a son, I'm convinced that a mother like this has to be more interested in having her children know the Bible than they are to speak another language. They're more interested that she has interest in their souls than their bodies or their clothes. She has more interest in their eternal life than success in life. She is more interested in their children's relationship with Jesus than with their popularity in the world. She is more interested in their standing with God than about their social status. She is more interested in their spirituality than their intellect or their music or athletic accomplishments. While it isn't in the text, the mother who passes on a faith that is sincere is without a doubt a praying mother. Any home in which faith is passed on from generation to generation has to be a home of prayer. One cannot imagine Lois not praying for Eunice or Eunice not praying for Timothy. We read in Acts 12:12 that the mother of John Mark opened up her home for a prayer meeting while Peter was in prison. We see a mother that's praying. In Acts 1:14, Mary, the mother of Jesus, joined together constantly with the disciples. We see a mother praying. That's the hallmark of a godly mother, would be a praying mother. Timothy's family environment was fertile for his faith development. Both his mother and his grandmother held their faith deeply and shared it freely with their son and grandson. How fertile is the environment in your family for the reproduction and the nurturing of authentic faith, a sincere faith in the lives of your children and grandchildren? Mothers, are you passing along a legacy of sincere faith to your children? Then I see something else I'd like to put here for mothers who truly love. They will instill a desire to minister. A desire to minister, to live out the life. After Paul preached in Lystra, Timothy was converted, and Paul returned back a short time later. Let's pick up the story in Acts 16, verses 1 through 3. Paul went on to Derbe and Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a believing Jewish woman, but his father was Greek. The brothers and sisters at Lystra and Iconium spoke highly of him, and Paul wanted Timothy to go with him. I see three qualities in Timothy that were no doubt passed on to him by his mother and his grandmother. First, he was a disciple. He is referred to as the disciple. Luke, the author of Acts, could have referred to him as a believer, could refer to him as a Christian, but he chose to call him a disciple. A disciple is obviously a person that's put the faith and trust in Christ, but he is also a person who is a learner, a follower. A disciple was one who was serious about Christ, not just one who was going through the motions. As we've already established, his mother modeled this type of sincere, no-holds-barred kind of faith. So we want our children to be disciples of Christ. That means first they have to come to a saving knowledge of Christ, and then we want to see them growing in their faith. Next, we see that they spoke highly of him. He had a good reputation. The believers in the area spoke well of him. People knew that he was a man of integrity, a man of his word. He was rock solid. Again, I think this had to do a lot with his mother and his grandmother. And then third, we see that he's available. Paul wanted Timothy to go with him, and we know that Timothy did go with him. God wanted Timothy to go on a journey with Paul. As you are continuing to read in the book of Acts, you would see that Timothy was eager to go. He was eager to minister. He knew it meant leaving home, and he knew it meant facing hardship. I think this commitment to ministry was influenced by his mother and his grandmother. When Paul stopped in Lystra for the second time, he enlisted Timothy to be his special assistant to replace John Mark. Paul refers to Timothy as his beloved son in 1 Corinthians 4:17. In 1 Timothy 1:2, he calls him his own son in the faith. In Philippians 2:20, Paul can't think of anyone like Timothy when he writes, "I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare." Paul thought very highly of Timothy and couldn't wait to unleash him for ministry. Mothers, part of your job is to instill a respect for the Bible. Another responsibility is to instill a sincere faith. But these two elements are only preliminary for the most important part that you have for instilling within your children, which is the desire to minister. Our kids are to learn the Bible and grow in their faith so that they become different makers in the world, so that they can share their faith with others, so that they can minister in the church and in their school and outside in the workplace, so that they can serve those who are hurting, so that they can serve as missionaries, so they can identify their spiritual gifts and use them on a regular basis. The truth of the matter is this: we are saved in order to serve. We are to be disciples so that we can disciple others. We are to equip so that we can evangelize. We are sanctified so that we can be sent to a lost and dying world that needs Jesus Christ. In the book Wooden on Leadership, legendary basketball coach John Wooden explains that to him, a potential recruit's character was important as his athletic ability. And according to the coach, how a person treats his mother was very revealing. To illustrate this point, Wooden shared a story. It goes like this. He says, "I once interviewed a very talented young man who wanted to attend UCLA on a basketball scholarship. I was prepared to offer him a scholarship during our meeting. His mother was there with him. At one point, she politely asked me a question. Her son immediately looked over at her and snapped, 'How can you be so ignorant? Just keep your mouth shut and listen to what the coach says.' Coach Wooden said, 'I assured her that her question was fine, and I answered it.' He said, 'The young man, however, had revealed an aspect of himself that wasn't fine. In fact, it was unacceptable to me. He disrespected his mother. If he couldn't respect her, how could he possibly respect me when things got tough at the practice or in the games? I politely ended the meeting, excused myself, and the scholarship was never offered.'" That reminds me of another story of somebody that didn't show quite the gratitude that they should. A teenager entered into the kitchen of his home one evening while his mother was preparing dinner. As the boy walked through the room, he placed a slip of paper on the counter. He then took a seat at the table and waited patiently. When the mother found a moment to pause from the meal preparation, She dried her hands and she read what the son had written. Cutting the grass, $10. Cleaning my room all week, $5. Running errands, $2. 2 hours of babysitting, $10. Taking out the garbage, $2. Maintaining good grades, $5. Total owed, $34. The boy studied his mother as she examined the bill. She didn't say anything, but she grabbed her pen. She turned the paper over and began to write. In a few moments, she stopped, placed the pen and paper on the counter, and then went back to preparing dinner. Curious, the boy walked over and picked up his bill and read what his mother had written on the other side. 9 months of pregnancy, no charge. Late night feedings, no charge. Diaper changes, no charge. Potty training, no charge. Bandaging scrapes and scratches, no charge. Bedtime stories, no charge. Doctor and dentist visits, no charge. Taxi service, no charge. Academic tutoring, no charge. Cheerleading, no charge. Hugs and encouragements, no charge. Etiquette training, no charge. Food purchasing and meal preparation, no charge. Clothes, toys, and automobiles, no charge. Total owed, no charge. When the boy looked up in the paper, his eyes were filling with tears. He took the pen from the counter, turned the paper over, hastily scribbled on it. He handed the paper to his mother. She looked at it, and written across his bill were the words, "Paid in full." The boy hugged his mother and whispered, "I love you." While mothers deserve appreciation much more than once a year, Mother's Day provides a special opportunity for children young and old to say, "Thanks, Mom. I love you." And you might ask, what if my mother is not like the one you just described? And sadly, we have to admit that there's some moms that fulfill their roles very well, but others do not. However, the Bible instructs us to honor our mothers. That means we are to treat them with dignity and respect. And how do you honor a mother that's not been a model mother? Jesus said that we should treat them as the way we would want to be treated. How would you want your mother to treat you, even if she was a bad mother? Respond to her in that same manner. It's all too easy to focus on a negative of a mom if she wasn't good. However, on Mother's Day, take time to focus on what she did positive. Many of us were fortunate we had excellent moms. I know I did. I'm thankful the way I watched Kathy be a good mom to our children. Let's be thankful for our mothers. For Coach Wooden, how a person treated his or her mother provided valuable insight into what kind of person that person is. According to the coach, disrespect and lack of courtesy reveal an attitude of ingratitude as an attitude that he'd rather do without. Let us take time on this Mother's Day to say thank you to our mothers. I know that some of you, your mothers have already passed away. Take time to just sit for a few moments and say thank you for the influence they had in your life as you were growing up and how much you truly miss them even right now. Commit yourself to being a godly mother. You say, well, it's too late. My kids are already out of the home. Be a godly grandmother, like Lois. If you're here today or if you're listening to this sermon and you recognize you're not a disciple of Christ, you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to make that commitment and confess your sins and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and become the Lord and Savior of your life. I promise you two things. That would be the best gift you ever received yourself. And I also promise you this. It would be the best Mother's Day gift you could give your mother or your grandmother today. It's to trust in Jesus Christ. On this Mother's Day, let us worship the same Lord that Lois and Eunice worshiped. And let us seek to model their example as we live out our lives. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for the way it offers examples of how to live out the Christian life. And Father, may we be encouraged today. May we be thankful for our mothers. May we take time to express that to our mothers. May we love our mothers. And Father, we pray that we would model out for our children the ways that we should live as well. For His name of Christ that we pray. Amen.